I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Don't be surprised if I ask what a bag is.
Welcome back. I don't know if that was the song they were singing. Anyway. Hey guys, welcome back to the Gold Diggers podcast, and I'm actually quite happy to be back, just sitting down in a host seat where Beatrice normally sits. Sorry Beatrice, but not sorry, you weren't available on Bank Holiday Sunday. God knows what you're doing, and God will forgive you. But, did I say something out of pocket?
That could mean anything.
She's having Sunday roast, you know.
Sunday roast. Sorry. You didn't even make sense. But anyway, welcome back to the Gold Diggers podcast. We've been off for quite some time, but we're back with an elite panel. If you'd like to introduce yourselves one by one, I would be very grateful because I forgot how we do this.
You're looking at me, so I'll go first.
Lauren. At Joyce as well, you know.
At Lauren Coyce.
Teema at teams_GH.
Philippa at Philippa Akko.
And Joyce and Swifty Stones on Twitter.
Yes, and I haven't sat with these ladies this entire season, so I actually don't know what their personalities are like. But we're going to roll with it. I'm joking. I watch you guys on every week. I'm playing with you. What?
Okay, she was, I was like, it was tense. Why?
I was like, oh.
Gosh,
man, everyone's settling into it. I'm joking. I'm just making it awkward for no reason. But since we last recorded, there's been so many things that we've missed. We have missed Antonio Conte rightfully being sacked, Lauren. We've missed Lampard reappointed as a Chelsea manager, Teema. Don't boo the guy. Let me finish the list. We've missed Tottenham interim Bruno Lodge being sacked. Wait. Lauren.
Hold on.
Christian Cellini. Bruno was your one, isn't it? There's been
Bruno's
so many changes. We can't keep
Bruno
up.
Lodge was the ex Wolves manager, no?
No, Bruno's Chelsea.
Bring him back. We will get to that. So we've missed Christian Cellini being sacked from Tottenham as the interim manager. We've missed Chelsea versus Real Madrid. Chelsea's very embarrassing Champions League exit with Frank Lampard. Arsenal drawing all over the gaff. We've missed 6-1 Newcastle Tottenham. Lauren, you're having a mess.
This whole time, I was happy we didn't record. We're just going to read it back up.
We're going to build that back up for sure. We've missed the Man City Arsenal massacre. Joyce, I know you were gas.
Yeah.
This is when that happened. And we've also missed Haaland becoming the highest goal scorer in the Premier League era ever, higher than Andy Cole. Which, by the way, I find it so funny that everyone talks about Alan Shearer being the highest goal scorer, but no one really mentioned Andy Cole.
And it was Andy Cole's actual record first. Alan Shearer just equaled it.
No, we're talking about goals in the season, right?
Yeah.
So goals in the season, it was Andy Cole. It was both when it was the 42 game era, but it was Andy Cole's first and then it became Alan Shearer's. You're right. I don't like it. I like to say Andy Cole and Alan Shearer at all times.
That's what I was, because everyone's talking about Alan Shearer's record. I'm thinking Andy Cole's name was right there. Everyone just turned a blind eye. I was very confused. But we've also missed West Ham beginning their remontada, no longer in the relegation show. Relegation zone. Hallelujah to that. We've missed the Liverpool remontada. They are currently fighting for top four because Tottenham dropped the ball.
What, we were the only team.
They didn't even have the ball to begin with, let's be real. That was a fugazi sort of placeholder.
Wow. Okay, so who started?
5 minutes.
It's literally been 3 minutes. Wow. All right, okay, okay, we started.
Guys,
wow.
Let's put the gloves back on. Let's come on, come on, come on.
Someone
come
said
on.
It wasn't me.
I know you're saving something for me, Zima, anyway, yeah, maybe, so I'll wait patiently.
We've got a whole 75 minutes to do this, boy. But anyway, we've also missed Chelsea getting smoked by Arsenal, Tima. And we've missed Jude Bellingham going to Real Madrid. Which
is that confirmed?
This is not confirmed.
It's not confirmed, but Fabrizio's saying it in it, so it might as well be confirmed. Wait, I don't think Liverpool have the clout to try and even fight back.
I don't think it's about Liverpool.
Ella Closure is for this say, bit.
I don't think it's about Liverpool having the clout because, you know, respectfully, Ella, we've known that they're out of it for a while. But there are other teams sniffing. Namely,
I'm not even interested, I can't lie. So if the club wants to get him, that's fine, but never been moved.
I know you're not interested, but I'm just saying that your people were also, you know, doing inquiries.
If he's going to come to the Prem, it will be City and City alone.
But
if
I hope
not,
he stays away from the Prem.
You don't want to sing Hey Jude?
I'm really not that interested, you know. He's not that good. Like, he's got... No. Okay, look. Before people cook me, I think he's obviously got the potential, but right now, with the form we're in, I don't think he sort of... I don't think he'd be necessarily a starter until like probably mid-season-ish.
Yeah, but isn't Gundogan leaving?
Oh yeah. But like, we're gonna try and like hold him back for like 1 year. Let's see how the development is.
But hold your player. If your player wants to leave, you guys. Exactly. Be like,
oh
okay,
no, but like Bernardo Silva been wanting to leave for like 4 seasons.
Yeah,
but now.
Pep always convinces him.
It's only because Barcelona don't have the funds. But
I was
like,
gonna say, I think Pep is very much like, if people can pay for you,
then you can go.
I'm gonna hold you back. But if they ain't got the quin, you're staying. Don't care what your wife says about Manchester.
So, I've just seen on Twitter that Barcelona are about to pull a lever to get Gundogan. Look, so.
How much levers do they have left?
Look, they got levers upon levers.
Oh, wow. I wish I could just access one.
Listen, Barcelona has been investigated. They need to shut down.
They can't keep finding more levers.
Like,
the funds are empty. Aubameyang is at your club because the funds are empty.
Money laundering in broad daylight.
Like, no one's actually going to catch them. Like, that's the thing. Everyone's investigating them. There has been no arrest. When did somebody
They've
go to get
arrested?
They've been
in their overdraft for years. They're buying players on the promise of what's called stadium rights for 30 years of, like, it's mad.
Bro.
Leave them.
The thing is, okay, Jude Bellingham, let's assume he goes to Real Madrid. He doesn't come to Man City. Mm-hmm. I think that would be probably a perfect match. And obviously, I don't know if anybody here watches Real Madrid, but they are in need of someone like Jude Bellingham at the moment, no?
I mean, their midfield is like, they're done for the future. They've got, was it Camavinga?
Tchouaméni.
They'll have him.
And you know what? Watching Real Madrid over the years, you would watch them think, how are they ever going to replace Toni Kroos, Luka Modric, and Casemiro, that midfield? And when you actually look at the options that they have now, and they're all so young, that's why they're Real Madrid, because no other club has that pool to have that selection of midfielders. And then you've got your, you know, your cast-offs, like your Dani Ceballos of the world as well, like the backup ones when you need to rest them. do you know what I mean? Like, they're actually set. Wow.
Well, I suppose it's going to be interesting to see who replaces Benzema, which is probably going to be Mbappe. We can talk about PSG and their nonsense.
I mean, Messi ready to go. Mbappe, you know.
They were outside my man's house. Neymar's house.
They were running Neymar's house.
They thought it was the French Revolution all over again. Because why were they screaming for him to leave?
Hey, the French people,
when it was
protests,
Messi. It was Messi. Messi got himself in trouble. So why are you outside Neymar's house? Can someone really explain that?
And they were outside the PSG HQ telling them to put Messi back into the team.
They said leave by association. Both of you get out of the club. But I look at the PSG situation and I think, how dare you tell Messi and Neymar to get out of your club? Does it even make any sense? People would die to have Messi in the club for 5 minutes and you're telling them to get out. And Neymar as well, because I look at it and, like you said, they went to his crib. How far can they take it until the police get involved and say, you can't do this?
The police will do what?
Entitlement.
Yeah.
That's like masked as standards. Mm. Yeah. People seem to think that just because, you've been injected with such and such, you deserve the world. You man are all fans. I understand that, you know, fans are what make football clubs go around, but also, you're not exactly paying these kind of bills. So Everybody must circle and chill.
Mm-hmm. I can't lie though, there were a few Chelsea players that would be outside their house too.
I was just about to say, like, if I knew where Daniel Levy lived, you know.
Timmy, you're an upstanding citizen. You ain't gonna be like outside.
Listen, I will. I was even gonna say, speaking of entitled fans, like Tima,
I'm not entitled.
Coming to Chelsea. I'm not saying you're entitled, but the entire fan base, they
we're
are
not entitled.
A little bit entitled.
They're not.
They are entitled.
I have seen Chelsea fans create lists
of people
that need to leave that club. Lists.
Yeah.
And there's about 7 to 13 people on that list, Tima.
And do you know who should be top of that list? There's two people who should be top of that list. Yeah, maybe more than two. For me...
Conor Gallagher.
I'm thinking higher. I think
okay.
I'm thinking Todd Boehly needs to be on that list.
All right.
I'm thinking Frank Lampard needs to be on that list. I think that Conor Gallagher is not the biggest issue. You've got the Kovacic's of the world who've been there.
You know what? The funniest thing is he's been linked to City as well.
Yeah, take him.
My eyes are closed.
You can't. But it's impossible to sell like half a squad. It's impossible. That's never going to happen.
Two for one.
Here's the thing though. This is all a byproduct of, you know, the sugar daddy years. And like, hear me out for this, because Tima, the girls love to make jokes about me and you being 50 years old, yeah, but look, we know what Chelsea was like. I'm saying,
wait, you just expose me like this.
They like to make jokes. I didn't say we're 50, clearly we're not, but my point is that we remember what the likes of Chelsea was like before the Roman years, right? Mm. And then the Roman years came and he created sides to win you leagues fantastically. But then towards the end, you had a bloating problem where you've got all of this youth, which is fantastic to have, and all of these people who are like bought to plug in gaps. But then when it doesn't work, you just ship them off on loan or you do lots of bits and bobs. The problem you lot have got is that it's a culmination of that. You've got a really bloated squad. You have a, you know, an owner who doesn't quite understand how this all works, or he understands how it works but he wants to make things work. And I think you guys are so used to popcorn results.
Do you know
that slow roast ain't really doing it for you, but because of the way that you've got too much going on, you have to have a slow roast now.
I disagree with that a little bit. I think I can understand what you're saying. I don't disagree with it, but I have standards. And so what a lot of people are trying to do, or a lot of even Chelsea fans buying into this Todd Boehly shit, is the fact that is not to have standards. And me, I refuse to lower my standards in football, in life, whatever. My standards are high. So yeah, you can make faces in Eta, no, you
I'm
can
listening.
Do whatever. But the thing is, like, Todd Boehly went in there and wanted revolution. He should have gone into Chelsea and wanted evolution, which is slowly, slowly. How can you be sacking everyone from the commercial department down to the groundsman and then expect, like all within a space of 6 months? Do you know how insane that is?
Did
he
really sack your groundsman?
He sacked...
Okay, I didn't know that part.
He sacked the groundsman and he also sacked the second in command.
No!
Who had been there for 20 years.
You realise that when you become a groundsman of a football club, you're in that job
for life.
Do you know how many people they've seen? Overseen, managers, everything.
Before anything, Tima, is this information verified?
No.
Before we
put 100%, no, 100%, 100%. He sacked the groundsman.
Oh.
He sacked the groundsman and then, because they were basically father and son team, he also sacked the son. And they had been there for like 20 years. This is the thing. This is what I'm talking about. That like, that's why I say that it is bullshit. Like, how can you think that you come into a new sport and then you think he said with his mouth, with his own crusty mouth, that the Chelsea are underperforming.
Crusty.
Every time he opens his mouth, more crusties are flying out.
Team
I don't care. Lisa, I don't care. I'm not going to, listen, if you wanted me on the pod, you know I was not going to be reasonable.
Do you know what? Go off. Go
he
off.
He said Chelsea were failing on the commercial and sporting. They're not performing well. So what he really did was like, okay, cool. I'm going to double it, triple it, and then I'm going to drag them into the relegation zone, because it doesn't make sense. You come in here, you say that he wanted to buy a Premier League club for so long. Mm-hmm. Like, this is not his first rodeo trying to buy a Premier League club. You come in, you do the nonsense.
You want to basically
franchise, and then you want me just to sit there and say, oh, thanks, Todd.
No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that these things take time. And I'm saying, like, when you have a change of ownership,
no,
you have to.
I'm sorry.
No. I'm
you
not,
have to have good
no,
people
around
you.
I'm not saying
you,
that
man.
He's done things right. I think he's done things terribly. And I can't lie, it's fun to watch. But with that being said, even if he was a man of sound mind, it would have taken a little bit of time. It wouldn't have dropped
the culture. Yeah. You can't change
that much. Right. But like the best comparison,
right? Joyce, in fact, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say the best comparison to this though is the new ownership at Newcastle.
That's literally it.
But getting a manager like Eddie Howe also helps.
But the difference is, right,
there's no pressure on Newcastle.
Fucking manager. Yeah.
It's not. It's the Newcastle, not Chelsea.
And it's not the same because Newcastle will have like not been in Champions League places for years. Bruv, they've bounced between the Championship and the Prem. Yeah, there's different
fan base
standards.
Their fan base isn't demanding. Chelsea probably got the most demanding fan base in the league.
Who do you think has got the most demanding fan base if it's not yours?
Liverpool.
I'm not saying it's not Warren Kidd, but who do you think he's got if it's not yours? Please.
Team must tread very carefully, right? Tread very carefully.
Demanding or entitled?
Demanding.
The word that Lauren used was demanding.
Demanding. I think, in terms of demanding fans, I think that...
Timo, please.
It's
Chelsea.
It's not. I think there are a few
name
clubs.
Name the clubs.
I was about to. So I think Liverpool fans are quite demanding.
What?
I think Arsenal fans are quite demanding.
Do you know what? Here's where I'll stop you, yeah? Liverpool fans are not demanding. They've waited 30 years to get that Premier League.
And how many managers have they sacked in that time?
They haven't sacked many managers since Jurgen Klopp. They haven't sacked anyone since Jurgen Klopp came, right? They stuck with Jurgen Klopp through the dirt. When they were 8th and 7th.
They were progressing.
In the Europa League. And they were progressing. Don't get me wrong, they were progressing. But it took a while for them to see and understand what Jurgen Klopp was doing with this team because he stripped that team season after season.
But there was progress from when he came in.
Yes, but okay. He stripped. And we haven't had any progress because it's been one season.
We have had progress, but just not in the right direction.
So negative progress.
Yeah.
So that's not progress.
That's not progress.
It's not progress.
No, but seriously, bringing it back, like you said, Arsenal and Liverpool being demanding fans. In what way would you say Arsenal fans especially are demanding?
Arsenal fans demand that their manager competes for the top four. It's not demanding, like you're talking about... So what I'm talking about is not demanding. We are demanding because we want trophies. Demanding, their level of demanding is not kind of like the same as Chelsea, but they're still very demanding. Arsenal fans would have sacked Arteta 3 times over if it wasn't for the ownership. They were calling for his head. Everyone knows
Chelsea,
it.
There were sections of Chelsea fans calling for Tuchel's head in the same year he won the Champions League. I said, I will drive the bus. They were calling for Tuchel's head. If that's not demanding,
that's not the majority of the fan base. Let's be honest.
I'm not saying it's the majority, but there were sections of the fan base.
If it's not the majority, it was a very vocal minority.
I don't think you would find many other fan bases in the Premier League that would want to sack their Champions League winning manager in the same calendar year, no matter how bad.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe you're right.
And the thing is, Arsenal wouldn't do it. Liverpool wouldn't do it. I can tell you that for free. It's only our fans, Faye, that would want to do something of that madness.
Louder.
No, honestly, Faye, you have blood on your hands. But even thinking about the manager and thinking about the ownership and everything, right? Are you in a place where you think that things can progress and things can get better, especially because Chelsea are looking at Pochettino now?
Things will only...
Lauren's so sad. Did you hear Lauren whimper?
It's really painful to hear.
To be honest, I've said it on Twitter and I'll say it again. For me, it doesn't matter who the manager is. The biggest question for me is the ownership. What is the ownership going to do? How involved are they going to be? If they're as involved as this season, it doesn't matter. Pochettino, no Pochettino. Pep Guardiola could be in there and it'd still be a disaster.
I do think he takes a step back.
He has to. I do think he doesn't understand, as much as
it's been really fucking funny to watch. I think he's going to be like, look, next season, let's try a different approach.
I don't think he has the balls to say, you know what? I got it wrong.
Yeah, and that's what he's
used to working with an overbearing chairman, to be honest, who doesn't know how to step back. Poch is used to that.
But no offence, but Tottenham are built like that. As you said, that Chelsea... demanding, not demanding, whatever. Mm. We're not built to have that kind of infrastructure. The fans don't have that mentality to accept that. And they've seen, the thing is, like, you need something to hold on to go along with. And if you are not seeing any progress, like, across the field, Like, what am I supposed to really hold on to be like, yeah, okay, I really trust these people? Because they've showed me that they can't be trusted in any decisions that they've made. How can you go from Potter to a man who almost relegated Everton? Does that make sense to you?
That was my question at the beginning, but I was told to shut my mouth because Frank Lampard was the best thing that ever happened.
Proper Chelsea.
Apparently, it's the best thing that ever happened to my club. So
I've gone on record and said Frank Lampard, it was the wrong decision. It's a lose-lose situation. He either did well, which he hasn't, and he stays, which is an absolute disaster.
This is well and truly living long enough to see yourself as a villain.
Yeah, literally. He's ruined his legacy.
How does he go back to Stamford Bridge after this season?
He doesn't.
He would be welcomed back with open arms.
Same way they rolled out with Banoy.
By the club itself, he'll be welcomed back with open arms.
It's just so shocking to me.
He's shocking.
Exactly what we were saying about how can people who have been sacked for being relegated or being close to relegation then be rewarded?
They'd be felled up.
For me, it is. I'm sorry, but I'm going to say it. It's like privilege. Because you can't tell me anyone else gets that Chelsea job or is even stays in that Chelsea job after six successive losses back to back. Someone he doesn't even take accountability. He says that none of it is his fault. He said last time he was a Chelsea manager, this is when I knew I couldn't take him seriously as someone to run a club. He said that Chelsea weren't ready to compete. 6 months later, Tuchel won the Champions League with that same squad he said wasn't ready to compete. How are Chelsea fans welcoming him back? Whether you think the season is done or not, are we not a serious club, football club, or not?
Because he gets legend status on the pitch. That's what gets him through the door.
Yeah, but he's not a good manager.
No, he's a terrible manager.
Oh, no, we all know he's a terrible manager. And this is the funny thing. It's like, even if you go back to when he was at Derby, he had an inflated squad full of low knees from Premier League clubs, right? So it was... He didn't do what he was meant to do at Derby in the first place. Then you lot came knocking for him, and it's a job where it's like, you can't say no, but he could have said no. But it's like one of them once-in-a-lifetime things. I understand it. Went to Everton. I don't know why Everton hired him. When you're thinking when you've got the likes of Ancelotti walking through your doors and you come and you hire Frank Lampard, okay, whatever, that's on you. But the way that he performed there... It's confusing. My man came to the press after your Real Madrid game and was like, we didn't think they were going to be as good as they are. It's Real Madrid.
Apparently, no, that's a fake quote.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a fake quote. Do you know what? If that's a fake quote, I'll put my hands
up. But he probably thought it, let's be honest. He probably is thinking it.
All right. To break the conversation up a little bit, Joyce, I want to bring you in here. I don't know who your legends are, innit? Obviously, Frank Lampard's one of your legends anyway. But would you...
Stephen Ireland.
Stephen Ireland and them, let's put you in.
Okay,
Chelsea.
We're gonna say company for one because we've already had like very good discussions about company. I wouldn't want to see him as manager. I love what he's doing now for Burnley, and I definitely think he needs to hold on to that Burnley job, give or two, one, two more seasons. Obviously, now that they're in the Prem, but I wouldn't want to see him ruin his legacy because realistically, you can obviously separate the player from being a manager, but you don't do that to yourself. Like,
yeah,
I understand.
Company himself has sense. When Company was asked about the City job, he said City deserve the best manager in the world, and I'm not that, so I wouldn't want the job. Even Company himself has sense.
He knows it.
But Lampard doesn't
that's
have sense.
That's someone with self-awareness.
Yeah. I think it does then like kind of dribble down into being an ego thing as well, to be quite honest. Because can you imagine the kind of status you get if you did your own thing as a player on the pitch and then you go and then achieve the highest of heights as a manager as well for the same club? You understand it, but you know...
Frank thinks he's Pep.
what I cannot actually understand is when you think about the managers that Lampard actually played under, he's played under probably some of the greatest managers that we've ever seen. Mm. Did you not learn anything?
he believes in his own hype. You can even see it. Like, he doesn't think, as I said, he genuinely does not think anything is his fault. And all he cares about is cardio players. Players that like to run around and look like they're working
hard. The busy
hard.
Ones, yeah.
That's a great name. Yeah, I mean, look, it's like what they say about all the best players on the pitch. Unless they actually live, breathe and eat football and tactics and such, they're never actually going to be fantastic managers because they just assume that everybody has the abilities that they had.
And that's on word on Thierry Henry, by the way, because Henry, do you remember when he started playing, he started coaching his old team and he was like, I just don't understand why the players can't do what I do. It's easy, it's simple. You should be able to do it. It's like managing doesn't work that way. And one thing that I've noticed is that some of the best players in world football
have gone on to become managers and absolutely sucked. And it's because they're stuck in their own ways. And that's fair, you know, that's fair. Not every manager, not every ex-player can become an amazing manager, but Pochettino. Let's narrow in and hone in on Pochettino. Am I going to hear a whimper again? Let's narrow in on Pochettino just real quick, and these Chelsea players, right? Obviously you've got your own list of the players that need to leave, even though there's some of them I don't agree with, but you've got your own
list. I've never made a list,
girl. I know you want Conor Gallagher gone.
Yeah, see you later.
Okay, I know you want Mason Mount gone.
No,
you don't want Mason Mount gone.
No, I think you should stay.
Maybe I confused you with Faye, but
that's a charge.
Oh, wow. I understand. That's a charge.
Strike one. But looking at the crop of players that you have now and the ones that you would like to get rid of potentially, do you think Pochettino can come into this group of players and take them on and take them to another level? I want to say the next level, but the next level is really just, what, top 10? I don't know what the next level is for Chelsea, but can they take them back to victory or top four or Champions League? What do you think?
I think so much has to go right in the summer. Like, every single decision has to be A1 for that to happen. A lot of the, you know, Chelsea have to sell players. We know about the financial fair play and the financial situation of the club. Obviously, the UEFA stuff doesn't really matter because we're not going to be playing Europe. But if you're looking at the Premier League financial fair play stuff, a lot of them... You're right there, Annie, so you can... A lot of the players, they just need to make the decisions about the players and they need to go early. So then pre-season, he has his squad that he needs to work with. They need to sign a keeper, they need to sign a DM, and they need to sign a striker. Mm-hmm. If that goes well and he has the whole of the pre-season to work with the limited amount of players that he wants, potentially, but I don't see it going that way just because of how much we have to sell, mm-hmm. the amount of players, and they're not all going to go, let's be honest.
Can I play devil's advocate, though?
Go ahead.
I actually genuinely don't think that you need, obviously you would like to all of that to go well, but in order to do better this next season, I don't actually think that you need all of that, because, not to bring myself into it, but I think the reason why, there's a lot of things with why we're in the position we are this year, but a lot of it is because games that
West Ham, games
that we would have won or drawn last season, we just haven't, and it's because of other teams just having an uptick in form. When people revert to type, I think you'll be fine.
We still need three positions.
No, I'm just saying, like, I don't think you need a magic window.
I disagree, I think
you need halfway. And I actually genuinely think it'll be enough.
Okay, let's agree to disagree on that just for time. But Lauren, I'm going to bring you in here. And obviously, you have the most experience with Mauricio Pochettino. I mean, you've gone back and forth in a group chat.
Yeah.
So don't hold back. I'm only hosting today. I'm not going to argue.
No.
But do you think Pochettino, knowing what you know of Pochettino and how he's helped Tottenham to where they are now, do you think he is the right man to come into Chelsea and fix this blaring issue that they have?
Like I said in the chat, I don't want him to go to Chelsea because it will physically pain me to see him running up and down at Stamford Bridge. But I think, Tima, the point that you made about the transfer window, he has worked under Daniel Levy for many, many years. Daniel Levy never got his business done until the last minute. He is familiar with going through pre-seasons, not having the squad assembled in the way that he wants it assembled. So that, I don't think that's going to cause him stress. In terms of what he's good at taking players and raising their level. He's good at developing young players. He's good at trying to find certain positions. And also tactically, he's quite consistent. And I think the football that he plays, it was exciting because it's just about working hard and pressing high and winning the ball. He will need a striker. But if any manager would come into Chelsea would need a striker. But okay. I actually think that the experience that you would have had at PSG and then going to a bigger club and having to manage players with big egos will help him coming back to Chelsea. If at the bare minimum, he will make you enjoy and like watching the team because you will connect with the players and you connect with him and you can see that he's a genuine and honest person.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Do you think Chelsea get top four next season?
Yes, because I think you have the players to do it. I still look at that Chelsea, even if you trim it down and then add a striker, or it wouldn't even surprise me if he wants to work with Lukaku. I think Chelsea
the
get top four.
The question is, does Lukaku want to work with Chelsea, though?
Mm. Yeah, and yeah.
That's a fair point.
So, exactly. So what would you say to potentially a Harry Kane exit to Chelsea to reunite?
Harry Kane is going...
Hey! I'm not saying it's going to happen.
I feel like the whole Harry Kane argument about where is he going this summer... Daniel Levy is one of the most impossible people to negotiate with in football. It is not Harry Kane's choice. His contract does not expire this summer. Daniel Levy will keep him. He will never sell him to Chelsea. I would doubt he'll even sell him to Manchester United. He will keep him. The only thing that is the saving grace of the Tottenham Hotspur Football Club at the moment is Harry Kane. If Harry Kane goes this summer, I'm telling you, Daniel Levy, if they find your address, you should
Spurs
move house.
Crumble.
He cannot sell Kane. That's the only thing that we are clinging on to. He cannot do it. Whether he does one more year and then leaves on a free, fine. But Daniel Levy likes his assets, and Harry Kane is his prized assets. He will try everything emotional. We'll build you a statue. Oh, la, 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 la. Go break all these records. He will try very, very hard to get him to sign that contract.
He should come for Poch then.
Pardon?
He should come for Poch.
What, that's one of the reasons why I don't want Poch to go to Chelsea, because I now think Chelsea become a viable option, just not this summer, because it's Levy who will have to sell him. He's not going to sell Harry Kane to Pochettino at Chelsea. We have to be for real.
I still feel like he goes to United. Sorry.
Oh. Wait, hold on.
I don't think he goes this summer. You think United are going to pay 100 million?
Strange things have happened, babe.
Apparently they only have 100 million Man United this summer.
Philip is still like, strange things have happened.
We've seen who knows? Nonsense.
If you think about, for example, there were rumours that Bayern Munich may pay between 80 and 100 million for Kolo Muani. All of these players, if Jude Bellingham's going for north of 100, all of these players are driving up Harry Kane's price.
Yeah, but the problem is who's affording him? He's got a year left.
Do you think Daniel Levy cares?
He should do, because if he's the shrewd businessman that everybody likes to call him, he wants something for, like you said, his prize asset. He's not letting his prize asset go for free.
He will do the same that he did with Christian Eriksen. Christian Eriksen wanted to go and he refused to sell him, and then we waited until January. He's not going in the summer. Moussa Dembele wanted to go, didn't go. We sold him to China in January. Harry Kane, I do not think he will go anywhere.
Levy like your club? Like, what is this?
When he calls himself a Spurs fan, he makes me sick. He makes me sick. There's not many people on this earth that make me sick, but Daniel Levy is one of them. Daniel Levy and Donna Cullen, who's also on the Spurs board, they make me sick.
Joe Lewis
with his yacht, you make me sick. on your yacht, you make me sick.
Donna's kind of cool. Leave Donna out of this.
Did you see the clip of Connor when she got caught on the camera a couple of weeks ago? Didn't look kind of cool to me.
What happened? What did she get caught on camera?
She got caught on camera. I can't remember which goal it was that we had conceded, and she turned around and then she went, "This is effing shit."
Oh yeah.
And she got caught in the clip.
That's somebody that cares about the club. Then that's somebody that cares.
So she's blocking Mauricio Pochettino coming back to Spurs.
Why?
She doesn't want him back.
Why?
She doesn't want him back.
Again. Are we sure allegedly. These are facts?
Allegedly.
What the reporters are saying.
But why does she specifically not want him back?
I don't know whether her and Mauricio got on, but she's Daniel Levy's right hand person. She's second in command. And
suspicious behaviour.
The reporters are saying
allegedly.
The reporters are saying that it's her specifically that doesn't want Poch back.
Okay, so Pochettino's a comeback. There's also the other option of Julian Nagelsmann, apparently, allegedly, as Joyce likes to say, allegedly. Would you be happy with a Julian Nagelsmann taking over your club?
I will only be happy with Nagelsmann if I see Poch at Chelsea. No other option. Don't bring me. Well, company just signed a new contract. I don't want Xabi Alonso. I don't want Potter. I don't want anybody. If I have to stomach Poch at Chelsea, it's because I have Nagelsmann. Any other option? Sorry, I can't believe. I cannot believe Daniel Levy let this happen.
Pardon? He's doing very well. Xabi Alonso.
I don't care what he's doing. I don't care.
So what makes you want Nagelsmann?
So the same Nagelsmann that had only lost three games at Bayern Munich and was deemed terrible. Tuchel has already lost that amount of games in 6 or 7 matches.
Hey,
just saying.
Don't talk about that.
Nagelsmann was sacked for doing a good job at Bayern Munich. When you look at what he was doing at Leipzig and that hybrid system, being able to switch between the back four, the back three, the back four, in terms of actually fitting in with the values of Spurs and the way we want to play football, because apparently we have a culture and we have a way that we want to play football.
Dare is to do or whatever it is. Is that your values?
Apparently, we have a style of football that obviously Mourinho, Conte, negative football doesn't work for us. Neither does winning trophies. But okay, let me say it. I think Nagelsmann will fit the way that we need to play. We need to be tactically flexible.
Yeah.
And he can do that. He can bring that. He's a young manager. So I'm sorry, like, I said, if Poch wasn't going to Chelsea, then I think maybe I would lower my standard of what is acceptable to see Poch at Chelsea and who comes in at Spurs. If it's not Nagelsmann, I'm sorry again, Daniel Levy, you make me sick.
Do you think that Nagelsmann can look at someone like Eric Dier and Emerson Royale and think, yeah, I'm gonna do something here?
You know what? Yeah, Emerson Royale played yesterday and actually transformed the back line because Eric Dier was on the bench. And if the hierarchy think that it's acceptable to give Eric Dier more years, I've never seen such a useless defender. The same reason why he was behind Tyrone Mings and Connor Cody for England. He was behind them for a reason. He's a centre-half, defensive midfielder, masquerading as a centre-back.
Exactly.
He cannot defend. If you are playing in a back three and you're the middle centre-half, you have to be the aggressive one. You have to push up. You have to step out of the line. Eric Dier missed a back off. Do you know how many shots? You see, Hugo can't save anything. How many shots that we take from the edge of the box because Eric Dier, back off. He's a useless defender. He switches off in key moments and he cannot try. How can you be a centre half and you can't track the flight of the ball?
Is anyone going to stop him?
No, I cannot stand him. And the fact that he's, you know, if he signs his contract, he'll get a testimonial. That's how long that he'll be at Spurs.
Oh, shit.
We are pushing on to double figures. Oh. What justification does that man have to be at the club?
He's got a big head.
And all of our problematic players are really, they're all playing one area.
He's got a big head. It's like Harry Kane, like, you can, you know, use the slab thing to do something.
Harry Kane broke the record for most number of headed goals in a season yesterday, so at least he uses his head for good purposes.
Are we like jotting these things down now? Is that?
Hey, listen, get your wins. However, you can get your wins. What's the question?
Come on.
What is the point of your football?
Here we go.
You
ask what the point is, Tima. You need to have someone to talk about. So there we go. We exist just for you to be able to make your comments. The thing is, I cannot be rattled. When I think about our season and when I think about the state of Spurs, we don't have a permanent manager, men's manager. We don't have a permanent women's manager. We hired a director of football that was doing funny business at Juventus. And then we've had to go through all of this mess just for him to lose his job because the ban came through. You know what I spent today doing? I spent this morning watching the under-21s get relegated. Then afterwards, I watched our women's team that also has my manager get slapped. In every single department of Spurs today this season... Every single department, we have been awful. Daniel Levy and that board have so much to answer for. We have rescinded. We have gone backwards. We have nothing to cheer for, which is why I said I can't sell Harry Kane, because it's the final straw, the final nail in the coffin.
Can I ask, Bree, can you just put a little backing track to what she just said so we can just have a little theme tune?
The world's smallest.
I think you're Stormzy, big for your boots.
I was going to say.
That would have slapped as a back
of you. What's that rhythm?
this club has driven me to the depths of despair. Like, what are we doing? We don't have a strategy. We don't have anything. I haven't even discussed the football results. How can you go to Newcastle? How can you be losing a football match 5-0 after 20 minutes? And then 1 week later, you're losing 3-0 after 15. Wow. Do you not have shame? Who's taking accountability? You know who's in the senior leadership team? Eric Dier.
Yeah.
Hey.
That sums up Tottenham Hotspur Football Club. We have issues everywhere. The academy is failing. The women's team is failing.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And the men's team is failing.
No. Can I just ask you one question?
No, Ziba, you've asked like three questions.
Just one question. Who do you think is in the worst state, Chelsea or Tottenham?
Spurs.
You think so?
Spurs, because Chelsea will come back.
I mean, yeah, it's a momentary thing. Yeah. Chelsea will come back. You guys can't come back from what you're doing.
Chelsea will come
Who's
back.
Who's in the worst state right now?
Right now,
you
right
guys are playing footsies under the table.
If we finish, if we finish eighth, neither of us are in European competition. So what's worse?
I think Chelsea are much worse.
I think Chelsea are in a much more. Listen, Lauren, you've had one win in five, right? Chelsea have had one win in eight. I've not been alive to see that happen. One win in eight. That is embarrassing.
But you will come back.
But right now,
it's not guaranteed.
There's nowhere to come back to.
I guess the question for both of the clubs, right, is do you both of you have the infrastructure to fix your glaring issues? And the argument for the Chelsea fans, not saying that I particularly agree with it or disagree with it, but the argument is that Todd has tinkered too much in the back, that the infrastructure is broken, and so it's going to take a lot of things to make that it better. Part. So I hear what you're saying, Lauren, and in the kindest way possible, because I will get in trouble for saying this, you lot have got a intrinsic issue that you paper over cracks. Getting into Champions League year after year has papered over your cracks, and until you have you haven't hit a rock bottom. Do you see what I mean?
Really?
Stop. No, F64 now. Let me finish.
You think 5-0 you think 5-0 after that wasn't rock bottom.
Bad results are bad results. Man United lost 7-0. Like, bad results are bad results. I hear Rewind it. It's painful. I get it. But the fact of the matter is that you are still able to paper over cracks by, like, I think if next season you end up in Europa Conference spots or less again, then they need to sit and take account and be like, what needs changing? But right now, when you guys, it's a bit like the Arsenal effect, isn't it? Like, it was not going great for a while because they didn't really have much money, but Arsene Wenger was like, I need the Champions League money. As long as I get the Champions League money, things don't have to change.
But what did Arteta do when he came in? Arteta's won an FA Cup. The thing that I have with Spurs is that what are we bouncing back to? Under the ownership, we've won one trophy in 20 years. Because football is about winning. It's Pardon?
What trophy is that?
The League Cup, 2008. 2-1 against Chelsea. I haven't forgotten. It's the only one I have to remember.
Whatever.
The exhaust
the pre-season cup.
What did you say?
The exhaust pipe cup, whatever it is.
The exhaust pipe cup.
I'm not having it from you 2020. What's called 2002, baby. Like, we're not doing this, okay?
but this is my point. Like, Chelsea know what it takes as a fan base to achieve success. You have success to fall back on, and you will go back to that level of achieving success. What even Arsenal have a history of success. What does Daniel Levy and what has he achieved in terms of actual success? Because we're talking about, oh, maybe we'll finish fourth. Oh, maybe we'll have a good run in Europe. What does that mean? Even West Ham are closer to achieving a European final or a trophy. I would say trophy because we did get to the Champions League final. More likely to do it than we are. So when this is what I mean by what is the point and what is the strategy, because we're not doing anything.
And I agree with you. I'm saying, but my point is that you you, because you can paper over cracks, no one will see it as intrinsically like anything wrong until you hit a bottom. Yes, the results on the pitch are not great and you man have looked weird, but you haven't hit a point where it's like actual embarrassment yet. When you hit that, because the Chelsea fans are feeling it right now. And again, we're all saying they'll bounce back, but they actually have to change something like in their entire infrastructure right now because Todd Bowley has gutted the gaff.
On top of all of this, right, we look at what Antonio Conte said, which Philippa has basically just explained.
That, yeah, oh, Conte was right.
Yeah, no matter what happens, they can change the manager as many times as you want. There's something wrong intrinsically. I like that word, intrinsically, within that club.
Exactly. And that to me is rock bottom, because if it never gets changed, what's the point? Every season,
I find
same rubbish.
Very funny, yeah? Just fucking hilarious, yeah? It was just a couple months ago, everyone was like, oh, Chelsea fans are being overdramatic, blah, 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 you guys will be fine. You're being overdramatic.
What is fine for Spurs? Not winning anything.
Yeah, because that's what you guys have been doing for the last
exactly.
Years.
But ask a Spurs fan who's happy with that.
But it's not rock bottom. Rock bottom is lingering battling relegation, in 12, celebrating 40 points. Celebrating 40. Until you've celebrated 40 points, I don't want to hear it. All of us here have celebrated.
Until you
sniffed. Maybe not you, but.
Maybe until you sniffed relegation.
I did back then.
Joyce wasn't about back then.
I know we're here to talk about men's football, but I look at my club holistically. Right. You're telling me we're talking about relegation. Our women's team have 2 games left to save our season before we get relegated. We're a big Premier League club. We're a big 6 Premier League club. And our women's team could get relegated and we also have no manager in that team. So when I talk about Spurs, I talk about it holistically, as in there are our academy got relegated today. There are problems in every single department, which is a cultural problem. So when I talk about rock bottom, we are at rock bottom because every department is flopping. It's flopping.
Like then you can, it's kind of like Man United as well, don't know? They had problems with their women's team. Their women's team weren't getting, they had to go across the road to flip in, use the bathroom. That there is rock bottom for that Man United women's side of the team
And they turned it around.
Tottenham can still turn it around, right?
What, Daniel Levy, who keeps calling women's football a lost leader, for example?
Don't get me wrong, Daniel Levy, he's wrong for all of this. Everything he said about women's football in the last couple of months have just been absolutely wrong, right? But on top of that, looking at the men's and the women's, you can still both turn it around, 1. 2, you look at Chelsea, the men's, right? And you look at them lingering in 12th. Again, celebrating 40 points. I've never done that in my life. Celebrating 40 points. And you look at the Chelsea women's, just lost in the Champions League semi-final. We don't know how we're going to come back for that. We look at the FA Cup final that we're going into. We don't even think we're going to win that. Then we have to battle for this WSL title, which we're probably maybe or maybe not going to get. Chelsea fans, we can't turn anywhere right now. We are at rock bottom.
The women's team is not a rock bottom. It's not a rock
bottom.
Chelsea will bounce back, and that's my point.
With all those death row contracts, what do you mean it's not guaranteed?
It's not guaranteed.
We may top have six maybe, but like you guys will be better than whatever maybe. This is.
Look, I can't take any of that seriously. You don't know what flirting with the championship looks like.
We
don't
have.
Do that. Don't insult my intelligence, please.
I'm so sorry. We've almost kissed the championship this season. Like, we were lips in them.
What, from 11th or 12th?
Yeah, we were lips in them from afar.
I was looking at how far...
Thank you. You see what I mean?
But this is what I'm trying to say, Lauren. I do completely see your point. But it's, again, one of them things where you look at levels, innit? You've got to set pace. Unfortunately... Chelsea have been setting pace at a certain place and you guys haven't. So it's not great and it needs to be better for you, but you don't necessarily know what the better is that you've made a fall. If that makes sense. I'm just trying to make...
Do you know what? I'm hearing it from Philippa because your club has hit rock bottom before.
Hell yeah, twice.
The only person I probably cannot hear it from here is Joyce because you don't know what pain and suffering looks like.
She wasn't alive.
Yeah, you're not old enough.
But once these charges drop, I might do.
Listen.
Point deduction. Maybe for next season,
them
but this season.
Away days are going to be nice.
Listen,
the thing is,
you're
still
season,
in the league, though.
Fam, exactly. This season, we need you guys to not get your points deducted, okay? And just moving it on from the Chelsea Tottenham debate. Even though these two, they both won. This weekend, by the way.
Yeah.
Chelsea men's and
unmoved.
Tottenham men's.
I'm unmoved.
Both won. Okay, we're not moved. That's fine. We're moving on anyway. But Arsenal, since we last recorded, Arsenal have just fallen so delicious. Badly from grace.
Delicious.
Can you see these wicked people?
Hey, the season may be bad, but if Arsenal don't win the league, it's okay.
Can I just
relax.
Laura was in agony 2 seconds ago.
It's the anecdote. Hey,
football rivalries, isn't it?
No, but Joyce, looking at the way Arsenal have kind of crumbled and kind of taken a tumble down, are you finally going to say Manchester City are going to win this league? Do you think that you deserve it ahead of Arsenal?
Do we deserve it? Before the World Cup, I obviously would have said, you know what, this is going to be a really long season. I already gave my prediction for how the season was going to end, you know, City first. I'm still sticking by that. But I'm still also not going to like outright still say that we're winning it until it's done. It's looking long. And to be quite honest, I don't necessarily rely on whoever Arsenal are playing to help us out and whatever. But I was expecting a lot more out of St. James's today, unfortunately. But
same.
Like I talk to all City fans, just tell them, like, turn your TV off, enjoy the sunshine outside, don't bother watching Arsenal games. At the end of the day, it's all in our hands. We have to play every single game and win it. And currently, I think it was after the Crystal Palace game, I sat in the other studio saying, if this is the game where we start a 10-win run, I wouldn't believe it. And here we are, 10 wins after that.
I believe.
I believe.
Lauren didn't just believe. Lauren was doing prayers every night. It's
true.
She did a 10-day fast. Like,
all right, so since we last recorded, right, Arsenal have drawn 2-2 with West Ham, 2-2 with Liverpool, 3-3 with Southampton, and lost 4-1 to Manchester City. Now, Tottenham, as the main rival fan, which one of those matches was the sweetest for you? Because I can tell you which one was the sweetest for me, but which one was the sweetest for you?
It has to be the City-Arsenal, because the way that Arsenal fans have been gassing up the team, that Pep showed them levels.
That and the holding consolidation goal made me giggle.
There was just such a gulf in class, in everything, in tactics. Like, Mikel Arteta has never beaten Pep Guardiola. He schools him every time. So that one was nice. Because I think the Arsenal fans kind of knew what was coming, but deep down, they weren't telling us because they were still hoping, clinging on to something. That one felt nice. Out of all of them, that was the sweetest.
I mean, because the reality is, if they had won it, you could have easily said, you know, Arsenal winning the whole thing now.
Exactly. And Timo, which one out of the
obviously
list?
I loved the fact that Erling Haaland was disrespectful for not even putting his hair in a ponytail when he scored against Arsenal. But I think for me, it was very sweet. I loved every single second of that, even when they scored and I thought they could do a little something. But I think the Liverpool game was when I was looking like, okay, then you guys are not as good as you thought you were.
Was it really the Liverpool game for you? Because for me personally, as a West Ham fan, sat in a bar in East London, surrounded by bare Arsenal fans, I don't know why you lot were encroaching in my space, being 2-0 down, the fact that they let us get back into that game and we actually could have won that game was nonsense for
me.
Was
that before the Liverpool game?
I was actually going to ask you, Philip, if that was the highlight for you, because as a West Ham fan, you're lingering in relegation, then Arsenal give your way in.
Me personally, Arsenal winning the league doesn't bother me as much as everybody else. Of course. For obvious reasons, but also because what's a little difference? Why not? But
no.
Okay, no, sorry. Again, flirting with relegation, and our local rivals are currently in the playoff positions in the championship. What's going on at the top doesn't really concern me, all right? But with that being said, yeah, it was that, and I looked at it and I was just like, Arsenal got a problem because I love my team. But you can't, if you're going to be league leaders, you cannot let us get back into the game like that. That Southampton game, if Southampton could have finished their dinner, that would have been very painful.
Regardless of it, outside of like City's win, that game was the one that brought me the most joy, because that in itself told me levels about where Arsenal are at right now, when we're quite literally, the shark is right behind you on your ass.
Yeah,
and you're here
season.
Just kind of...
We saw that. Man, that mentality there is weak when the pressure is on.
Do you know the Southampton game? I was out with two of my guy friends who supported Arsenal, and I hadn't seen them for ages. So they're giving me hugs because of where Chelsea were. And then we looked at the Arsenal, because it was like Friday night.
Yeah.
I thought, okay, easy 3-0 win. And then when I saw that they were losing 2-0,
Yeah.
I was just like, it's done.
I put the game on instantly. After 1-0, I put it on. I was like, wait, what? And then I saw Thea Walcott scored as well. I said, yeah, cool.
And you could tell, and that bit was sweet because you could tell he didn't want to score.
He didn't want to score. Just the week before, he was like, maybe we'll help Arsenal out and beat Man City. They got slapped.
That's why I know Joe Willock was deliberately missing today because he wanted to do something for Arsenal. But yeah, no, that Thea Walcott
moment
was
sweet.
It's
not completely over though. Brighton, you got Brighton.
Oh yeah, Brighton away is our game in hand. So that's where I'm bricking.
Awesome. What's your record like against Brighton?
It's not that bad. Away, I think we beat them 5-0 last season. So
yeah, but that's on the Potter. It doesn't count.
I need yeah, but so Deserbi is a different ball game yeah. than now.
I need Deserbi to bench Caicedo.
I'll give credit where credit's due. So yeah, that's why I'm bricking it. But like out of
that Europa League spot,
out of the three away games that we have. Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, but Brighton are going to get it. Like, we're sixth, and I think 2 points ahead of Brighton, and they have 3 games in hand over us. You honestly, De Zerbi can throw the Man City game away, and they can still do it. 3 games.
As long as they beat Arsenal, man, they can do whatever they like. Just beat Arsenal.
So, Arsenal have Brighton, Forest, and Wolves left for the rest of the season. Man City have Everton, Chelsea, Brighton, and Brentford left. Now, looking at Arsenal's fixtures, Brighton, Forest, and Wolves, how many points can we see them getting realistically? Because I didn't expect them to get the 3 points against Newcastle earlier on today. So
Seven. I think they'll draw one game.
Mm. Which one do you think they're going to draw?
It's probably going to be Brighton's game. I feel like they'll probably draw in that game, yeah.
And Philip, are you of the same opinion?
Yeah. But don't be surprised if they beat Brighton.
Oh, yeah. No, I wouldn't be surprised either.
If Brighton are clinical, I think they will take away at least a point because, not being funny, defensively Arsenal was still very poor today. Mm. Newcastle just didn't score. Like if you look at Brighton and how quick they are and how they use wide players, if Zinchenko is on that pitch, he will be exposed. So I still think Brighton will take points off Arsenal. I hope.
I find it so crazy that Newcastle couldn't score today but managed to score 6. Against Tottenham just the other week, but just putting that out there. Sorry.
Wait, he's already dead.
laughing a little bit too much. Nah, just a second ago.
What, Eric Dier in the defence. Let me not bring up Eric again. Let me not bring up Eric again. Hugo. I think I could take Eric Dier. Yeah, I could score against him. So it's okay.
But I have to ask. So it looks like Hugo's not going to play again this season. Do you think he's played this last game for you?
I hope so.
I think so.
And speaking of which, I did want to ask this question. So obviously they're saying injury or some shit, right? Was it not the Newcastle game half time? We didn't see him from that moment, and I'm thinking something went down in that because of what I've seen in All or Nothing.
Something went down
in that dressing room.
I think so, but then the only thing that makes me think maybe he is injured is because they let him come out and do the post match interviews after the game. But something happened in that dressing room. If I'm the captain, I'd be telling these people about themselves. So I don't blame Hugo if he lost his head and had a go at people.
What about himself? He's also not been good.
No, but that's why I think it is. I think he, and this is the problem, he came back into the team after the long injury and judge up the back because at least Fraser Forster's good with his feet. Hugo plays like he's drunk. I think it's time for him. It's time for us to replace him. I think it was time for us to replace him last season. But I think I'm not going to sit here, even though I just said he plays like he's drunk, and abuse him.
The charges against him, that's such a mean thing to say.
Yeah. Well, he should have been dropped from the captaincy, in my opinion. But I'm not going to sit here and criticise him because at some point, he was a world-class and an outstanding goalkeeper and he was a good leader. And he was playing at a level where I wouldn't have begrudged him if he wanted to move on from Spurs, but he stayed and he committed. And unfortunately, he has nothing to show for it. But because of the service that he's given Spurs over the years, I want us to do it respectfully. But he cannot be the number one because he is also part of the problem. If, for example, we get in an Nagelsmann, you cannot have a goalkeeper that cannot play out from the back. It's not possible.
I've got a Kepa for you.
You take up I think it's time, please.
But I would like to see, I mean, he's still got one more year left, so I wouldn't sell him this summer. I would have him there to mentor whoever, if the next goalkeeper that comes in is young, I would have him in the dressing room if he's happy to sit on the bench. But
as your cup keeper, maybe.
That is a World Cup
if we were playing
keeper,
if we were no playing way. in the league two, and won. But like, as the, like we, it depends who we have. If we have a possession-based team, God, we cannot have a goalkeeper damn. That cannot play out from the back.
Okay.
He brings panic into the team.
I have a feeling you're going to spit another F64. So we're gonna park that right there and get back to Manchester City. Obviously, just the other week. No, other week? Was it not this week? Mm-hmm. When did you play and then Haaland did the...
It was midweek.
It was midweek. Was it against West Ham?
Uh-huh. First goal against West Ham.
I don't think I said it on the pod, but I said, West Ham are going to go down in history. This guy is going to break the record with us. I said it. I knew. I just fucking knew it. I'm so upset.
Crying. Proper full circle. Condolences, but at least you held Arsenal to a draw. So we... You know,
at least you'll be in all the clips. Right,
honestly,
no, I don't like that. Oh, okay. You know, like when it comes on TV and there'll be clips, and it's always West Ham, and it's always at the London Stadium as well.
It's lit, man.
I can always see where I'm sat. Yeah,
well, maybe you should pay rent.
It's lit. But speaking of Haaland, right? Did you expect Haaland? Well, from the start of the season, I'm not talking about during the season.
You know what? Every single game that man scores, I sit there thinking about the first time I was on the podcast. And you guys asked me for my guess, and I said something like 24.
Mm-hmm.
Bro, what the hell was I smoking? That guy is unreal. Literally, no. Like, blessing from above, really. I can't lie, no. Like, every other game, he sort of just, like, kind of surpasses, it, like, expectations. Everyone's expectations at this point. And obviously, you've seen how his game has developed throughout the season as well. Because obviously, we're talking about how bad his link-up play was at the start of the season. And, you know, how the team basically has to adjust for Haaland. And now he's doing a lot more playmaking. This guy's upgraded all his other software. It's working for him. Yeah. It really is. So, like, I genuinely cannot wait to see him next season and what more we have to bring. But you know what? Let's finish this season first. I don't know if he's going to beat Dixie Dean's record. But I'm also not interested.
Like, he's already like 63 goals for
that was when those guys were playing with trench foot and whatever. Like,
solid, not far off, you know.
Solid concrete balls.
1923 seasons there where
concrete balls.
1923 seasons.
Season trench foot. Now, to be honest, Haaland is. I really.
When did you
guys
said he was gonna struggle?
I thought he was going to.
Several
people did, because I
didn't know whether he would fit into the way that City play.
I will never forget the season, not even like a season, a period of time during this season when people were saying Haaland is holding my City back.
Yeah, they play better without him.
I couldn't believe it. I hope all of you people that were saying it, because there were a lot of you in the Gold Diggers comments that were saying it as well, Haaland holding my City back. I hope you guys have all swallowed your tongue. Anyway, sorry, Joyce, carry on. Dixie,
but,
who?
Dixie Dean. He played Dixie for whatever, Everton, isn't it? But yeah, so I think Haaland is 13 more goals off from matching it and 14 to beat it.
He could be I'm 10 not... off if he'd scored.
Yeah, but you know, to be fair, it says so much about his personality as well. And I think he's done a lot more as well in the dressing room. You can definitely see it, like, feel like a proper togetherness with the City when they play on the pitch now, especially with the current the current run we're having as well. You got to hold it together, innit?
I'll throw this out to everyone here, but do you guys think that Haaland has beaten the allegations that he can't assist, he can't create, etc.? Because you look at the Arsenal match where he kind of created for Kevin De Bruyne instead of De Bruyne creating for Erling Haaland. Has he beaten the allegations for you guys?
Maybe in two more games, because that man is still stiff. I can't lie. Yeah, I watch him, he's so rigid.
It depends what we mean by, like, creation. Like, I mean, like, the first goal, the goal that Kevin's goal against Arsenal was literally like a long ball. He brought the ball down. I mean, he was jumping against holding, and then he slipped the ball through. Like, yes, he will get assists just because of City play so far up the pitch. They're always in your half. So at some point, he's going to get the ball to feet, and he's going to slip it off to people.
Are you saying that's easy?
No, I'm not saying it's easy. He's going to find passes, but the style of football that City play, I would expect anybody... I mean, even Edison gets assists sometimes. Like, people in that team, I think, will pick up assists. And I think it's natural. But I agree, he's developed and he's progressed. And I think that's what he's going to have to do to play in a Pep team, because it's not just having an out-and-out goal scorer. He wants whoever's playing in that position to play with the team. But I don't think I'm ever going to, like, describe him as, like, a creative centre forward.
No, not a Harry Kane, then.
No, No, really, like simple as he's not as good on the ball as Harry Kane is. But, yeah.
Period. Erling Haaland is not as good on the ball as Harry Kane. Sorry.
The goal that Harry Kane scored yesterday, mm-hmm. that link up play with Pedro Porro, Haaland is not doing that.
And that's fair. I actually do agree.
Thank you.
I agree with you. And Joyce, sorry, I keep.
No, the thing is, Haaland's a poacher. At the end of the day, if he's in the box, all you gotta do is smash it, you know. Rest up my guy, Igalo, anyways. It's obvious. If he's in the ball, or if he's in the box, it's happening. Sort of thing, but in terms of like creating like one of those really nice champagne football sort of goals, you're rarely gonna see like Haaland be the goal scorer for it. You're probably gonna catch someone like Gundogan or Mahrez on the end of that.
Yeah, to be fair, he doesn't need to. He has players around him.
Facts. This might either be a stupid question or a hard question. Do you think Pep Guardiola has taken Haaland to another level? Like, do you think he's developed Haaland to a point where he wasn't there before? If that makes sense.
I don't know, because I look at like the comparison to how he was playing at Dortmund, and like sometimes we miss the kind of Haaland that was there for Dortmund, but at the same time that you have to factor in Bundesliga's tax and how awful like their pressing is over there, and it's not the same as playing in the Prem. But I feel like every single player that Pep has had has elevated them to a different level, even if it's just a small bit. When you play under such a system, you have no choice but to evolve a whole bench. So I genuinely do think he has, definitely.
And the thing is, I asked that question just to come on to our next topic, which has been a hot topic this entire month. Like, I don't even know why everyone's talking about it. But manager of the season, the awards are coming up, right? And obviously, why did Timo and Philippa roll their eyes at the same damn time? Like
Ghanaian intuition. Yeah,
you don't know how in sync that was. I was like, what the hell? But no, the manager of the season, all of the awards are coming up very shortly. And Pep Guardiola, people are saying Pep Guardiola should get it.
Manager of the season, what? For the Premier League. Yeah, then it's not Pep. I can be honest to say it's not Pep.
Arteta should get it. People are saying Dean Smith? Eddie Howe should get it. Who are we going for? And as a collective, I want us to decide here and say this is the Gold Diggers manager of the season. So I'll start with you, Lauren. Who would you put in your pick?
Eddie
Some
Howell.
People are even saying Unai Emery, by the way. Just putting that out there.
Oh, yeah.
I think, I'm not saying Pep, because winning the Premier League is standard Pep. So I don't necessarily, I don't think he's done anything special this season to, you know, it's not a centurion season or something.
But he's about to, he might win the treble.
Yeah, but that's not Premier League. That's why I asked for clarity.
It would come into it, though.
I think it would come into it.
I think it will come into people, but I'm going to base it on people's Premier League season.
Okay.
Then I'm going... I'm going Eddie Howe, because I think to take... Like, he came into Newcastle when they're in a relegation battle. Mm-hmm. And to take that team from a relegation battle into the Champions League, like, Dan Byrne is going to be playing Champions League football. It's not as if they,
they sell him.
It's not like they spent, like, a hell of a lot of money on that team. Like, he's actually just coached them really, really, really well. And I think he's got them ahead of schedule. Arsenal have had a good season under Arteta, but equally, you've been top of the league since September, and if you don't win it, that's bottling it. So I don't think you should reward somebody for that. So... I'm going Eddie Howe.
If Arteta does win it, would you give it to him?
No.
Okay. Who are you giving it to?
He can't have those eyebrows and that hairline. And
Come on.
Okay, man. Hey. T will be
the heart and the mind connecting. Nah. I think for me.
Rub your hands together, guys.
I think for me, it is definitely Eddie Howe, and for the reasons that Lauren has just stated. Even if Arsenal win the league, Arsenal spent a significant amount of money on that team to get to where they were. We're talking about a Newcastle team that last season was battling relegation. I remember when Trippier went there in the January, and I was thinking to myself, why would you go from a Champions League team to battle relegation? But, I mean, as you say, Dan Byrne's about to play Champions League football, and you can't deny that, man, even with the... You know, what they spent, I don't even know how much they spent. They probably spent less than 100 million in the summer. Mm. It's crazy.
It's a no-brainer. It's exactly what the ladies have said. And I think coming from my perspective as well, where David Moyes came to West Ham for his second time when we were in the middle of relegation, saved us from relegation. And then the next season, we were around those Champions League spots until we bottled it ourselves and then just qualified for Europa. Yeah. That's not easy because it's not just... like results, it's the mentality of a team. And that's the problem I think I know that a lot of Arsenal fans are having with their players at the moment, where it's like they're playing well, but do they have that winning mentality in them? And I don't think they do. Mm. But special shout out, like you said, to Unai Emery, because nobody saw Villa creeping up like that. Nobody. For me, it's just like, it just goes to show that, again, talking about ex-players becoming managers, Steven Gerrard did not know what he was doing with that team. To strip Tyrone Mings of that captaincy seems like a ridiculous decision in hindsight now. You can just see how these people have grown in leaps and bounds. And I mean, I understand why Arsenal fans didn't like Emery, of course, but I thought that we needed to put some respect on his name.
He's a great tactician. Great tactician.
And you can see that when he's playing in cups and how he changes the outcome of games, like, all the time. He is a Europa League specialist. So special shout out to him, but it's always going to be Eddie Howe for me. Always.
I love that you said that, because Arsenal fans are really going to come here and camp and say, no, he's not that good. But hey, all I'm saying is that Europa League, Arsenal should have won it. That final, Arsenal should have won it. It wasn't the manager's fault. It was the players. Joyce, what about you? Yeah. Who's your manager of the season?
I'm glad we're all in the same consensus. Yeah, Eddie Howe. I feel like Newcastle still aren't getting the flowers that they deserve regardless. I've seen shouts for the team of the season, and I'm still side-eyeing people that think Mr. Number One in Arsenal, Ramsdale, deserves a team of the season over someone like Nick Pope.
Some of the saves today.
And the thing, in fact, I'm not even going to say nothing.
I could easily say that Newcastle arguably have one of their best defence in the league season. So what are we doing with Ram? Anyways, regardless. Give the man his flowers. I feel like it would just be too easy to give Arteta the manager of the season.
Yeah.
If you've held the top spot for that long, you're expected to win it.
Period.
So, I don't, you know, you've got the Premier League trophy as your manager of the season sort of award. You don't need, and to be quite honest, in terms of like tactics and whatnot, Arsenal haven't been all there in comparison to a club like Newcastle. So
I'm not gonna say that.
Someone
said it.
Someone
said
it.
I don't know if I can.
You're sitting way too close to her. Right? You probably get cooked.
Guilty by association.
No, but I feel like there's arguments for all three of them, all three or four of them. Pep Guardiola included, because I do feel like even though Pep Guardiola has done this several times, winning the league several times, it still takes that matter of bastardness to come out and now overtake Arsenal and say, yeah, we're going to fucking win this Premier League, maybe the Champions League, and maybe the FA Cup as well. So I just feel like, yeah, if he does that, he'll definitely be in contention for me anyway. But Eddie Howe, like all of you have all just said, like, there's absolutely no way anyone, in my opinion, can take that away from him.
Yeah.
From a relegation scrap to top four. Sorry, Lauren, are you alright?
I was so down for a second.
I wanted to keep talking, but I was like, nah, man.
I zoned out for a second and I looked across and there was just a tear rolling down. I was like, nah.
Sorry.
Oh, God. Maybe it was just the thought of us winning the league.
That is great. I really thought it might be because Newcastle was taking your spot. Like, legit. Newcastle.
New top six.
I've accepted it.
New top six is in the building. Chelsea is not in it. Tottenham might not be in it either.
Everyone needs to put respect on Eddie Howe's name from this. Where was Bournemouth? How big is the Vitality Stadium? That is a tiny ass stadium for a tiny ass team. They have come so far, and that is off the back of him and his backroom staff. And I've admired him for a very long time. And like you said, Timo, like, Kieran Trippier, why are you coming from Leicester to come to Newcastle? Yes, he wants to come home and all that. But I have a feeling he knew who was coming and he saw the vision.
Mm. And I feel like a lot of football fans didn't see this vision that Kieran Trippier saw. Because I remember when Newcastle got taken over, everyone was like, nah, it'll still take them like 5 to 10 years to get into the Champions League to compete. They are so far ahead of schedule that it's scary to me. And that Amanda Staveley woman, she scares me more than Marina did. She looks very scary. She was like, she's about business. And you see the way she was cuddling and
crying. Yeah, she loves it.
She loves them.
And cradling the players.
Yeah.
That was love. And you cannot beat a football team that has love. We don't have that right now. Chelsea don't have that right now.
Do you know what the best thing about her? She doesn't say a word.
Nothing. Moves in silence.
But this is it. All these people need to keep their mouths
directors
shut.
Don't have to
Cameron
do that.
Brady, keep your mouth shut. All of these people just quiet.
Understand your role and then execute your role.
You're
behind
literally
the
just
scenes.
Supposed to be behind the backboard, supporting the club while saying nothing. That's
that
it.
Used to be Chelsea with Marina Granovskaya, Marina Granovskaya, and that's what she did so well. And another contention for manager of the season. This is just a joke, by the way. No one cooked me. Big Sam Allardyce? Anybody?
listen, ladies. Like
Big Sam nominated himself.
Big Sam. I feel like Mikel Arteta.
Regardless of the fact that he decided he wanted to run his mouth faster than Eurostar train, it's calm. Because his record anyways is great. He just didn't need to say all of that whiff-waff sort of thing. He's still really good in terms of saving clubs from relegation. Unfortunately, Leeds, hold that, you're going down. But this man earns a bag regardless. Whether they stay up, they go down, it's that, fine.
Sam Allardyce's Bolton team, I remember, they were everyone's bogey side.
Oh, don't remind me.
Like, they,
JJ
like,
Okocha, yeah. Man.
God. Nah, he's a good manager, but come on, man.
You can't sit like
he's got to do an impossible job, and now he's opening his big mouth.
He looks like a Butlin singer. Do you know, like, one of those pub singers?
What I will say is,
am
like,
I lying?
You do need to have, when you're in those positions, you do need to have a manager who has got vim and confidence to come into the press and be like, yeah, we're beating this. Like, what are you talking about? Because without it, you really cannot be
you've
timid about it.
You've already lost before you've gone on the pitch, basically.
And me personally, even though this, I just found out that we did actually win, thank God. But
you beat United.
I was going to say earlier, but Lauren was in her run. I checked her. I was the only one.
Wait, sorry. Wow. What was the end score for? Because we are
1-0.
Just for context, we're filming when Man United are playing West Ham. What is the score?
It's 1-0.
West Ham beat Manchester United 1-0.
And we could have, you know, I'm going to have to check the tapes, but we could have won by more. There was pens apparently not given and all that sort of stuff. But my actual point was that we have Leeds second, like the penultimate game of the season. Yes. And I'm still nervous about that game, even though I technically shouldn't be, because Big Sam is a specialist. Did it for us, done it for plenty of teams, didn't manage it with West Brom, but he's good at, like you said, the record speaks for itself. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I laughed obviously at what he said, because he's got this really big thing about English managers not getting their roses against.
Yeah. Has he seen what's happened at Stamford Bridge this season? Yeah.
So he has this thing about it, and like it's big, but I would just say, like, Sam, hold your pint of wine, babes, and just focus on the task at hand.
He said,
when he had that bust with the sun, he ordered a pint of wine.
Did he?
Yeah, I didn't pull that out of my arms.
Oh, sorry. I thought we were going along the lines of what Timo was saying.
He said, I might be 68 and look old, but there's nobody ahead of me in football terms. Not Pep, not Jurgen Klopp, not Mikel Arteta. It's all there with me. Wow. Anyway, on that note, we are going to.
I just find that funny because. No. But I find that funny because we managed to replicate the same goal twice against him. Yesterday, it made me so happy. But you know what? It's okay.
When your football's so good, you can choose the type of goal.
Can you imagine? You
score. Gosh. Must be nice.
Oh, we scored the same type of goal twice. Okay.
Anyway, thank you guys for listening to the Gold Diggers podcast. Make sure you're following us on our Instagram at GoldDiggersUK_, our Twitter at GoldDiggersUK, on our TikTok as well. Make sure you're following these lovely individual ladies, including myself as well, and Bree in the background. Yeah. Oh, she did a peace sign, by the way. Just for content, she did a peace sign. But we'll catch you back here every weekend until the end of the season. Let's hope Man City get the Premier League, because if they don't, we will not be here. I'm going to tell you that for free.
Just me and Shy.
It will literally just be the Arsenal ladies, and that's it. But anyway, guys, thank you for tuning in. Make sure you subscribe, like, all the good stuff, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Don't be surprised if I ask what a bag is.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend. Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt, so throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.